Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Is Ehud Olmert on a path of personal and national destruction? Hi, I'm Herschel Lind, your host, and you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Stay tuned for Mort Klein, national president of the ZOA, as he zero in on Olmert's condition and provides a prescription. The parsha this week is B'Shelach. Hebrews are on their way out of Mitzrayim and on their way to Canaan. But you know, Pharaoh doesn't know when to cut his losses. He wakes up and realizes that he just let his prize workforce get away. Well, forget the fact that the country is in shambles after 10 massive makos, plagues. He won't be humiliated. Does this sound familiar with today's events in the Middle East? Anyway, he's so eager to catch and bring back the Bnei Yisrael that he harnesses his own chariot and he leads the charge. Normally, of course, he'd have a servant hitch the chariot and let his forward team protect him. Well, he catches up to the tribes, since the Jews are caught between Pharaoh and the Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. So God tells Moshe to raise his staff, and the sea splits, allowing the Bnei Yisrael to cross. But Pharaoh's men are close behind on horseback. Well, the last Jew is on the shore on the other side. Hashem closes the sea and drowning Pharaoh's best men. Now, Moshe and Bnei Yisrael sing praises to Hashem for saving them from the evil Egyptians. Well, as they began wandering in the desert, they started complaining to Moshe that they were hungry and thirsty. So, God sweetens the bitter waters of Marah, and later, Moshe strikes a rock, which brings out more water, and Hashem provides literally manna from heaven in the morning. Wonder where that came from, huh? And, of course, quails to eat each evening. They were told only to gather what they could eat that day, as Hashem was training them to trust him. Well, the people that didn't listen found their food rancid the next day and uneatable. Now, they were also to gather twice their share on Friday and not to gather on Shabbos. So, as you would figure, some of them went out on Shabbos, but they couldn't find any manna to gather. How about that? Well, I guess there's always a learning curve, even today. Aaron, Moshe's brother, was commanded to keep some manna in a jar so that future generations could see what it looked like. Where is today? It is today is a big mystery. I guess we'll see it when it becomes revealed with the coming of Mashiach. Please, God, it should happen immediately. Finally, some folks ignored the word to leave the Bnei Yisrael alone, the Amalekites. So Yehoshua raises an army, and with Moses' prayers defeats Amalek. Because they defied God, we have a commandment throughout time to erase the memory of Amalek and destroy their remnant. And speaking of remnant, the remnant of our staff is ready to remind you about quality Jewish radio. With Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, so sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up in the half hour. And don't forget, you can always find us on the web at JewishExperienceRadio.com. And we continue to ask you for your support. And as, you know, we continue to get many accolades from listeners about how much they look forward to the show each week, but without your support, can't last too much longer. If you have an idea to help, please drop us a line at jewishexperience@verizon.net. And, of course, you can consider sponsoring your favorite segment. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson, popular story segment, community news and announcements, popular feminine perspective, and Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history. They're all available for you, so call right now and reserve your spot. And we thank our regular sponsors who are always with us, and thank God for them. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, and Artistic Photography. Now, we got you can still ask for a special gift, a beautiful refrigerator magnet. We're going to stop telling you about that soon because we're going to be running out, but we still have some. You can give us a call at 412-979-5770 or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Candlelighting time tonight, 5.03 p.m.
Ba yo yo ba yo yo,
Now with an insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Yesterday was the yard site of the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe. When a tzaddik passes away, his good deeds, the Torah he learned and taught to others, and the holy service he performed, all unite and rise together to the upper spheres. Thus, the Hasidic discourse, beginning with the words Bosi Ligani, which the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe gave us for the day when he passed away, focuses on the main points of all the works he did with intense effort throughout his life. In general, the content of every subject is more apparent at its beginning and its end. Therefore, the emphasis on the main points of the Rebbe's works is especially apparent at the start and end of the discourse. Among the main endeavors of the previous Rebbe, which he also demanded of his followers, were the following: spreading Torah and mitzvahs, including the light emanating luminary of the Torah Chassidus, in each and every place, even where on the surface it would seem that they are not yet able to accept Torah and mitzvahs. And to do this work of spreading Torah and mitzvahs without delay and with great zeal and enthusiasm. The Rebbe stresses these two points in the beginning and end of this discourse. At the start, the Rebbe quotes the words of the Medrash on the verse in Shir HaShirim, "I have come into my garden." This refers to the time when the Mishkan, the portable sanctuary in the desert, was completed and Hashem's holy presence descended to the physical world and settled in the Holy of Holies. The Medrash explains that Hashem specifically emphasizes that this is my garden, my dwelling place, implying that this was his dwelling place previously and to which he now returned. The Medrash thus teaches that his main essence was there in the beginning. In other words, godliness had already filled the world at the time of creation. Although godliness filled the world at creation, afterwards it withdrew in various stages of concealment because of the sin of the eating from the tree of knowledge and the sins which followed. At the time of the completion of the Mishkan, however, godliness returned to its revealed state as before. This is how the discourse begins. At the end of the discourse, the Rebbe quotes another medrash, which says that an individual was not in control of his life to be able to assert that he will not pass away until he puts all of his affairs in order. Therefore, one must not postpone any works he has to accomplish until later, because who can determine when his time will come? With these two quotes from the Medrash, the Rebbe is bringing out the two points mentioned before. At the end of his discourse, the Rebbe teaches that one must do all his works with great zeal and enthusiasm without delay. And at the beginning of the discourse, he informs us in which areas to concentrate our work and efforts. We must spread Torah and mitzvahs in each place and in all times.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600.
Bye.
Now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Immigration to America, Part 2, The Trip on Land. For the Jews, it was an arduous journey to reach the ports of Western Europe, where they would board ships to cross the Atlantic Ocean. As the Russian government restricted passports, Jews had to cross the border into Germany illegally. These crossings entailed bribing professional smugglers to help them, and it was both expensive and risky, for frequently the smugglers were corrupt. The Jews crossed Germany by train, hoping not to be caught by officials or swindled by scoundrels who took advantage of their unfamiliarity with their surroundings. Later, the land trip became easy due to the efforts of German Jews to help the travelers. The sea voyage. The Atlantic crossing, which took from 1 to 2 weeks, was a harrowing experience. Greedy ship owners treated immigrants like so much freight. Sleeping quarters in steerage class, the lowest, were compartments holding 300 or more persons. Berths, 6 feet 2 inches long, were in 2 tiers, with 2.5 feet above each berth, separated only by iron pipes. The iron framework held a mattress and pillow stuffed with straw or seaweed. The blanket was usually so flimsy that passengers had to sleep in their clothing to keep warm. Stewards never changed or cleaned the berths, even when voyages lasted 16 days or more. All personal belongings, such as pots, pans, and clothing, had to be kept in the berth as there was no room on the floor. The immigrants lined up for their food and ate it in their berths, for there was no dining room. Since no waste barrels were supplied, the steerage floor was always damp and filthy, and the air stank beyond endurance. In the description of one of the immigrants, "On the first day I went to the mess counter for food and was handed a chunk of white bread and herring which I took to my bunk. I bit into the bread. It tasted like chalk. The herring stunk. I threw it all away. The following day we did not need food. In fact, we seemed to have plenty to give up. It was stormy and the boat rocked and shook. I kept tossing about. I stuck my head out of the bunk a little. A shower of vomit came down from the upper bunk on my face. There was no privacy. Men, women, and children were all mixed together. Our greatest suffering was due to a scarcity of water. We all provided ourselves with a tin can to hold the water distributed every evening. It was all you could get until the following evening. One day I ate a piece of herring. Soon after, I drank all the water I had. The same evening, I was burning up with thirst. There were 8 toilets and 8 wash basins for 200 people. The toilet seats were always wet, and water often stood inches deep on the floor. A thorough washing of the body, or even part of it, was out of the question. There were no bathtubs. All this meant that the steerage passenger arrived at journey's end with a mind unfit for healthy, wholesome impressions, and with a body weakened and unfit for the hardships that are involved in the beginning of life in a new land."
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Defense Minister Ehud Barak has ordered all passages in and out of Hamas-controlled Gaza from Israel be sealed off after he was briefed on the number of rocket attacks against Israeli civilians perpetrated in recent days. That number averaging more than 40 a day. Merchandise and trucks not entering or leaving Gaza during the closure. People will only be allowed to leave Gaza in urgent humanitarian cases. PLO Chairman Mahmoud Abbas says Gaza is due to receive $3 billion of the $7.7 billion in international aid pledged during a one-day meeting in Paris last month that was meant to show support for him. The PLO has not explained how it will invest in Gaza without directly benefiting Hamas. Arab sources believe the escalation in missile fire is part of a new Hamas policy aimed at forcing Israel into a ceasefire. According to sources quoted by the Haaretz news service, the terror group decided to forsake its previous tactic of abstention from rocket fire and letting smaller organizations fire at Israel sporadically. Arab commentators say that Hamas is refraining from firing at Ashkelon and is keeping that option open in case Israel launches a full-scale invasion of Gaza. Arab sources in Gaza say that one person was killed and 3 injured in an attack by an Israeli aircraft near the neighborhood of Jabalia Friday morning. Israel says the attack was on a group of Qassam launchers who had fired missiles earlier. No injuries, but damage to buildings and a road in the western Negev from 9 rockets launched to start the day on Friday, 2 more rockets launched later on. Abu Mujahid, the spokesman for the Popular Resistance Committee's terror group, has warned that there will be no negotiations on captured Israeli Army Corporal Gilad Shalit's fate until what Mujahid called the Israeli escalation in Gaza ceases. However, senior PLO officials have told Lebanon's Al-Akbar newspaper that the negotiations over Shalit are in the final stretch, and that Defense Minister Barak's upcoming trip to Cairo could seal the deal. The source claims Israel will release 1,120 convicted terrorists in a first batch, 33 leaders from Hamas and Islamic Jihad in a second wave, and others in a third. Shalit will be freed a week after the first batch of terrorists is released, according to the report. The PLO has voiced concerns that the army operation that eliminated senior Al-Aqsa terrorist Ahmed Sanakra early Friday may lead to understandings in place with the Al-Aqsa brigades becoming null and void. A senior member of Al-Aqsa telling the Yedioth Ahronot Daily's Ynet news service that what they call the calm and stated in the eastern PLO areas is dead as a result of the operation. The army has told Haaretz that Sanakra, who was picked off by soldiers from the elite Duv Devan unit as he tried to escape in the Shem neighborhood of Balata, had been in touch with Hezbollah in Lebanon. The soldiers had come to Balata in order to arrest four other wanted men and saw Sanakra through the window of the house they surrounded. The four others were wounded during the arrest procedures. Brigadier General Noam Tibon, the commander of forces in Judea and Samaria, met the Duv Devan soldiers after the operation. He noted that this was the second senior terrorist killed by the unit in a 48-hour span. On Wednesday, the head of Islamic Jihad in Samaria, Walid al-Ubaidi, was killed in Kabatia. Vinograd Commission member Yeheskel Dror wants to publish a minority report to ensure direct criticism of Prime Minister Olmert for not relying on more advice during the Second Lebanon War. Despite statements by Olmert that he won't step down because of the report, direct blame of the Prime Minister for misjudgment in the war would likely force his government to fall. The majority of the committee leans toward blaming the military for failures in the war. Meeting into the early hours of Friday morning, representatives of senior professors at Israel's state-run universities finalizing an agreement mediated by Histadrut labor union leader Ofer Eini with the schools and representatives of the education and finance ministries to end the three-month strike over erosion of salaries since 1997. The finance ministry, with reservations over a clause to allow the agreement to apply to instructors joining the ranks of senior academic staff in the future, the late start of courses taught by the instructors at the expense of the 2008 summer vacation. Increased financial incentives have been announced for doctors to move to Israel. For a couple of perspectives on the story, listen to Yishai Fleischer and the Aliyah Revolution with Goel Jasper. On demand on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat Yud Bet, the 12th of Shvat on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast clear to partly cloudy with winds in the north and center on Friday. Slightly cooler Shabbat and Sunday with a slight rise in temperature on Monday. In Jerusalem Friday, a high temperature of 10 degrees centigrade, 50 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 20 degrees centigrade, 68 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
That was a look at Jerusalem weather. And now, for your local weather, here's meteorologist Glenn Foxen.
An Arctic front will move through our region on Saturday, bringing in very cold weather and lake-effect snow showers. The forecast for Pittsburgh and vicinity. Friday night, mostly cloudy, low in the lower 20s. On Shabbos, cloudy with the chance of snow showers, a light accumulation of less than an inch possible, high in the mid-20s. Motzi Shabbos, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow showers. Cold, with a low around 10 above. Sunday and Sunday night, mostly cloudy and cold. High 10 to 15 degrees, and lows around 10 above. This is meteorologist Glenn Foxen wishing everyone good weather and great times this Shabbos.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And take a look at some events around the community. The Kolo Annual Malaba Malka Dinner, March 1st at 8:45 p.m. Honorees this year, Drs. Joel and Tova Weinberg. For more information, call 412-420-0220 for information and tickets. The Kolo has many exciting classes about to start, a season of Musser, Breakneck Through the Bible, a Women's Shabbos program, and more. Call the Kolo for all the details on where and when, 412-420-0220. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous meets at the Pittsburgh Kolo, 5808 Beacon Street, every Sunday evening from 7:30 to 9 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. It's not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. Don't forget, you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program and your events. Of course, you can do that at 412-979-5770. Or email Jewish Experience at Verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Candlelighting time this week is 5:03 p.m. The national president of ZOA, Mort Klein, takes on Ehud Olmert next on the JE. Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you've worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. Very privileged to have with us today the national president of the Zionist Organization of America, the ZOA, Mr. Mort Klein, who was chosen as one of the top 10 Jewish leaders by Forward Magazine. Mort, welcome to the program.
Well, it's great to be with you and your audience.
Great to have you back again. You were here last time and had a nice response. We got a lot of good vibes from our listeners, so we'd love to have you back, and I know you have some great insight on what's going on today. So let's get started. Ehud Olmert is the current Prime Minister of Israel, whose approval rating is now in single digits. He's been under indictment from four different sources. He's about to be criticized in the Winograd Report for the war in Lebanon. Not much support, it seems, yet he's still there, which is very curious to begin with. On top of that, he's taken upon himself to discuss core issues to go even further than the U.S. has asked him to go with Mahmoud Abbas, who is the head of the West Bank Arabs, and his also approval rating is not that great because he's not only has trouble with his own West Bank, he's lost Gaza. So how is this proceeding? Why is it proceeding? And what are some of the core issues?
Well, Olmert will remain in power as long as Avigdor Lieberman, the head of one of the Russian parties, and Shas, one of the religious parties, remain in the government. My contacts in Israel have told me that a Lieberman may leave this week.
Because I heard that too. Yeah.
He may leave this week. That's 11 seats. That would bring the number of people as part of the coalition for Olmert down from 78 to 67 out of 120. He needs 61 to remain in power. And there'll be tremendous pressure on Shas to leave, because if Lieberman does leave, then everyone will pressure Shas, because if Shas leaves, it means the government falls, unless Olmert is able to get some other parties involved, which is not likely. There's also strong hints from my connections that even Barak may leave after the Winograd report, that if it's really a bad report, he may leave and form new elections. So in the next few weeks, we'll know a lot more as to whether Olmert is going to remain in power. This is happening with Avigdor Lieberman because Olmert has announced that everything is on the table, including Jerusalem, refugees, borders, settlements. In fact, this week, Olmert publicly condemned the unauthorized settlements as a disgrace. That's the word he used.
Right.
The unauthorized settlement issue was really sort of, in my view, nonsensical, because even if you remove all of them, which means really a few hundred Israelis,
right,
how does that help move toward peace? The reason there's no peace between the Arabs and the Israelis is not because of the unauthorized settlements. It's because Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Arabs and Hamas continue to promote hatred and murder against Jews in their TV, radio, newspapers, speeches, sermons, children's camps, school books, everywhere.
Sure, they haven't changed.
They continue to refuse to arrest terrorists, to confiscate the illegal weapons, to do anything about terrorism. In fact, I spoke with Olmert myself. He himself acknowledged that Abbas is not doing nearly what he has to do in the terrorism issue. So because they're going to be talking about these sorts of issues, Lieberman may well leave and Shas may follow. Now, there's been reports about the refugee issue, which is on the table, that Olmert said that he will allow 50,000 Arabs into Israel. But in my connections with the Olmert people, they tell me it's not true. He will not allow any Arabs into Israel, that the Palestinian Arabs have to remain under their own autonomy, not within Israel. So we'll see what happens with that. I will tell you that Olmert has said to me personally that there will be no agreement if the Palestinian Authority doesn't end the incitement and continues to not fight terrorism in a serious way. So they've got to do all of those things or there will be no agreement. He also said there will be no state this year. The most that can happen is an agreement to talk about what might happen in the future.
But he seems like he's single-handedly discussing all this with Abbas, and it doesn't seem like the rest of his government, the Knesset, is participating in any way. Is that just not hearing that, or?
Well, no. That's look. Israel is not the same type of democracy as America. Remember, the Knesset members, 120 Knesset members, have no constituents.
Right.
They don't have districts. They're just part of a list. Likud, Kadima,
right.
Labor. They don't run against another person opposing them directly from a district. They simply run as a list. You vote for the Kadima Party. You vote for Likud.
Right.
And depending on the number of votes, that's how many people get into the Knesset. So the Knesset members are loyal to the leaders of the party, not loyal to their constituents. It's a very bad system. So, yes, he's doing this really on his own, just the way Sharon did.
Right.
Frankly, just the way virtually all prime ministers of Israel have done. But for him to be negotiating with Abbas and saying he's a peacemaker, when Mahmoud Abbas, only 2 weeks ago, approved a new poster for his Fatah party. The poster shows all of Israel
right.
with a PLO keffiyeh over all of Israel, with a Kalashnikov rifle next to it, and a big picture of Arafat. Now, what kind of peace man is that?
And I would maintain that the bottom line is there's never been any change, and the Muslims are using the old tactic of negotiating simply to play the game, but their desire is the destruction of Israel. It always has been. It will never change.
Absolutely. This is a religious war.
Right.
This is an Islamic terrorist religious war against the Jews and against the West, frankly,
sure.
against Christians, too. The Christians are suffering also.
Speaking about that, let me say that ZOA as an organization has been criticized, I've read, because they support Oslo and they support the roadmap, which is bringing into question, I guess, the fact that Israel, per se, is a gift from God, and therefore, how can we negotiate any part of it away? Do you have any response for that? I mean, have you ever been asked that question?
ZOA has always been against Oslo and the roadmap.
You've been against Oslo and the roadmap?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, because it's, okay, somewhere I read that that you were a supporter of that. Of
never.
Oslo.
Never. We've been criticized forever. No, we predicted that Oslo would lead to disaster.
Oh, okay.
And that negotiations with Arafat should not happen until he does certain things, which he never did.
But didn't, one second, didn't your website talk about the participation in Oslo or something like that? Or didn't you an ad in the New York Times or something a while ago that talked about the roadmap or...
We had a full page in the New York Times which said that the Fatah, Abbas's Fatah party, their constitution,
right.
still calls for the destruction of Israel and for terrorism, and that until they change that constitution and fulfill other aspects of the roadmap, until they do that, meaning ending incitement, ending terrorism, arresting terrorists, until they do that, there shouldn't even be a discussion about negotiations.
Well, in other words, even if they do that, you're not saying that you're going to give them any land, or you're not supporting giving them any land.
Look. If they would end incitement,
right.
promoting murder of Jews and Israelis, destruction of Israel in their TV, newspapers, radio, speeches, and if they would arrest terrorists, hundreds of terrorists, keep them in prison for a long time, and if they would confiscate the illegal weapons, outlaw Hamas, Islamic Jihad as an illegal party, and publicly proclaim Israel as a Jewish state, and this was maintained over a period of at least a year or more,
right.
then there should be a discussion as to whether you should negotiate with them. So yes, we've said that, but... You know, nothing close to that has happened. In fact, none of that has happened.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll ever happen.
Nor do I.
Okay. Because it doesn't, I can't.
No, but we were against Oslo. We thought Oslo was a terrible mistake, and the roadmap was a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
But and we're against any negotiations here.
What is your speaking of that? What is your opinion then of weaning Israel off of American money because America seems to be directing that?
Well, let me tell you a couple things about that. First of all, Israel has ended. It no longer receives economic aid from America. Israel receives $2.4 billion a year. By the way, Egypt gets almost the same amount. It's all military aid now. The entire aid package now for Israel's military, they spend 80-90% of it in America purchasing weapons here. There's economic aid has ended. Bibi Netanyahu began that in 96, and now Israel no longer gets economic aid.
All right,
but you have to understand, Israel spends three or four times the amount of money per capita on defense as any country in the world. Because that's great needs.
Sure.
So they do get military aid. Economic aid has ended. And I will tell you, from all my discussions, I believe that what's happening now is as much Israel-driven as it is American-driven.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, obviously, Bush and Condoleezza Rice don't mind Israel doing these things, But if Israel said, no, we're not doing it, I don't believe that Bush would force them to do it. That's my guess from all my conversations with people on the Hill and in the White House. You know, nobody knows for sure except Bush and his immediate people. But Olmert is really the one I think driving this. Yeah, Olmert asked Bush to come to Israel this week.
Oh, he asked Bush to come to Israel.
My understanding is he asked him to come in order to try and minimize the effect of the Winograd Commission report that's coming out January 30th about his handling of the Lebanon war.
So what is his motivation? I mean, the guy used to be a mayor of Yerushalayim. What would cause him to basically look like he's trying to commit self-suicide here and take the state with him?
Why did Sharon do what he did? It seems to me a part of it, this is only my guess, is the corruption problems of Sharon and now the corruption problems of Olmert. That may be a factor. I don't know that for sure. It's just a guess. And also, the world is pressuring Olmert, and the world would love to see Olmert give everything away.
Sure.
And there's an interest, I'm afraid, in politicians in Israel to have the world love them and love Israel. And so this is a factor, I believe, in them doing things that I believe are not in the best interest of Israel. Even though they don't believe that. They convince themselves this is good for Israel. I mean, Olmert has told me we have to set up a state, because otherwise the world's going to demand a one-state solution, that we have to incorporate all of Judea, Samaria, Gaza, and Israel into one state, and then we lose the Jewish state. He seems to believe that.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
No, I don't believe that either. You trust in Hashem, you certainly don't believe that. I mean, that would be, turning your back on Torah, and that would be the end of everything, in my opinion. What are you doing there, you know?
The closer Jews are to Torah and living according to Torah, the more they're against giving away any part of the Holy Land.
Sure. I mean, I would like to, and I always said this, and Netanyahu got close to it and then screwed it up completely, but I would like to see a prime minister simply stand up and say, look, God gave us this land. We're letting you live on it now because, you can do that as long as you behave yourself and follow the laws. But there is land that we are not even occupying now that belongs to us that we're letting you live on. You know, that's what they need to say they need to invoke the name of God because that's their side is doing it. You know, that's how they feel. That's a real problem.
The Arabs believe this is holy Muslim land, and the Jews really don't make that argument.
Right.
Also, the Jews don't explain that they've given away, Israel has given away 40% of Judea and Samaria, all of Gaza. That's where 99% of the Arabs live.
Right.
So frankly, they've already given away the land where the Arabs live. The other 58% of Judea and Samaria, 4 or 5% of it is where the Jews live. The rest is uninhabited.
Yes,
so in other words, Israel no longer has sovereignty over the lands where 99% of the Palestinian Arabs live. The prime ministers, they never say this.
Right, and not only that, but I mean, Israel was attacked. I mean, they responded and they took it over. International law gives them that land. If they should have annexed it immediately.
It was a defensive war, and
right.
By the way, even more important, possibly, people have to understand, from 48 to 67, Jordan controlled the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, illegally.
Right.
The world never recognized it as theirs. They illegally controlled it. So it's not as if Israel has captured, in a defensive war, sovereign Jordanian land. They captured disputed territory that no one, for whom no one
right.
recognized their right to be there.
Right. I mean, it reminds me of the Gush Katif. I mean, the Jews went there because nobody else wanted it. They made it at a Garden of Eden while
they were down there,
and all of a sudden the Arabs now wanted it. And they turned it back into a pile of you-know-what. So
that's right. Anyone who's gone to Gaza where the Jews lived, they lived along a strip along the Mediterranean. It was one of the most beautiful neighbors I've seen in the world.
Right.
You'd think it was Santa Monica, California,
absolutely,
if you didn't know where you were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. All right, very quickly, because we are running out of time. Last point, Netanyahu, if this government collapses, is he going to be the next prime minister, in your opinion?
If this government falls, all the polls show Bibi way ahead of Barak.
Okay.
And, of course, Olmert.
Okay.
And so the odds are very high Bibi would become prime minister. I know some of the people that would be his top aides. They're very good people.
Okay, now,
very good people.
And just quickly getting in there, when he was in there last time, he disappointed us because he gave away Hebron. He shook hands with Arafat. Do you see anything like that happening again?
I can only hope he's learned from that. He tells people, including me, that he's learned his lessons from the mistakes he's made and that wouldn't happen again. So we can be sure that he would be much tougher about demanding that the Abbas and the Arabs fulfill all their obligations before there's even a discussion of concessions. I hope and believe that Bibi telling people he's learned his lessons is true.
All right, very good. Listen, it's been another exciting interview, and I appreciate it. We are out of time. It's Mort Klein, who is the national president of the Zionist Organization of America, the ZOA, who was rated one of the top 10 Jewish leaders by Forward Magazine. Mort, thank you again.
Well, thank you. And if your readers want to hear more about the things we do and about these information, ZOA.org is our website, ZOA.org.
Very good. And have a good Shabbos. We'll talk
good
to you
Shabbos.
Soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but He promised Israel to His chosen people. Hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, BelieversOfTheBible.org.
Keep it crossing.
Now for a look at the feminine side of things. Reporting from Israel, here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
Try to guess it. It's something you do every year on the same day. You get your family members together, you give tzedakah, charity, and here's the last clue. You have a party and a cake. Yep, you got it. It's your birthday. At the request of one of our listeners, and because it's their anniversary, I will be discussing the importance and spiritual meaning of a Jewish birthday. Why do you celebrate your birthday? In your mother's womb, you were comfortable, warm, and cared for. Then you left. It was an ordeal, a trauma. The world you entered was cold and harsh. The mere act of living became a struggle. You cried. Yet every year you celebrate that day. Because the day you were born was the day you became your own entity. No longer an extension of somebody else, you became a proactive force in the world. I once heard an excellent quote that explains things in a nutshell. Birth is God saying that the world cannot go on without you. It's the day your soul's mission is about to begin. Hashem created your soul, and your birthday is the day that He decreed it would begin carrying out the purpose for which it was created. A Jewish birthday is, of course, the day you were born according to the Jewish calendar, which follows the lunar cycle. To make a birthday truly Jewish, people usually get together with family and friends, have a party, give charity, make resolutions that they do, or at least try to keep, say their new chapter of Psalms that corresponds to their age, and give over inspiring words of Torah. Birthdays are really fun, but it's important to remember that they are also a personal time. The birthday is a time for meditation over the past year and pondering on how the commitment to Hashem has grown and how to strengthen even more. On the Lubavitcher Rebbe's 90th birthday, he said the mission of every Jew is to endeavor to be righteous and make the world a better place. Our sages tell us that on a person's birthday, their mazel, or good fortune, is stronger. This gives them the power to complete more good deeds that have a greater influence than on the other days of the year. For example, your birthday is a great time to perform acts of kindness because they give God great pleasure. He sees that the child in whom he invested, the particular child he wanted to be born on a particular day, is living up to his potential. And nothing, of course, gives a parent greater joy. This is the true experience of birth, the true beginning of a life of meaning. Because time itself is like a spiral, something special happens on your birthday each year. The same energy that God invested in you at birth is present once again on your birthday. It is our duty to be receptive to that force. How do we do so? By committing to a life guided by God's will and by using the abilities and resources we were born with to perfect ourselves in society and to make the world a good and sacred home for Hashem. On a personal level, I can relate to this. 2 weeks ago, on Yod Tes Teves, another year was added to my life. Another year that will hopefully result in successes, learning, and striving for the ultimate, the coming of Mashiach. I thought about how things change all the time. Why, just last year, I never dreamed I would be on the radio. In fact, the Jewish Experience Radio didn't even exist. This thought really provoked me. So much can happen in the time span of just one year. Hashem gives us the tools, but it's really up to us to make the most of it and not let it go by without us. So on your birthday, don't just look at the presents, trying to find that new nanopod. Think about why you are here and try to remember, yes, I was born, but what really happened? This segment is in honor of a really good friend whose birthday was last week on Chaf Av Teves. Mazel Tov.
Now it's time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Among the most gentle and caring charities in Jewish neighborhoods today are the Tomchei Shabbos type of organizations, which provide needy families with food every Shabbos. Every week, with remarkable efficiency, a group of volunteers pick up Shabbos staples to be delivered to people in need. In London, Rabbi Yoel Becker was in charge of fundraising for his local Tomchei Shabbos operation. Two nights a week, he visited potential donors. One night, he was at the home of Rav Zev, who was known in the past for his charitable donations. After some small talk, Reb Yoel came to the point. "I'm sure you know about Tomchei Shabbos," he said to Reb Zev. "We are in desperate need of funds, and we need your help." Reb Zev didn't question Reb Yol, as many others did, about the budget, the deficit, and how efficiently the money was spent. I will give you £100 on condition that you tell me who receives the food packages. Reb Yol was surprised. Reb Zev, you know I can't do this, he said. We never revealed the names of people getting packages. It is strictly confidential. Look, said Reb Zev, it is important to me to know that I am helping a specific individual. It makes me feel that I am truly relieving a burden of a fellow Jew. Seeing that Reb Yol was not moved by his idea, Reb Zev said, I will double my donation. I'll even give you £400. I'm sorry, said Reb Yol, I won't do it. I have never revealed a name, and I will not do it. Look, said Reb Zev, getting exasperated, make this one time an exception, and I'll give you £1,000. I want to feel connected with the poor family, and this way I will. Reb Yol realized it was hopeless. Reb Zev, he said, if you gave me £5,000, I wouldn't reveal who is getting your package or any other package. It's our policy, and we will never change it, as long as I am in charge. Suddenly, Reb Zev put his hands to his face and wept. Reb Yol, please put me on your list, he sobbed. People don't realize that I no longer have the money I once had. My family and I are destitute. I am out of work and struggling every day. I was only testing you. I didn't want to call to be put on the list because I feared that others would find out I was getting packages. I was trying to see if there was any way, under any circumstances, that you would reveal your recipients. But now that I see you wouldn't, please make sure that I am on your list. You see, maintaining another person's personal dignity is of paramount importance. And it's not always what you do say, sometimes it's what you don't say. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
Come to the close of another exciting program of the Jewish Experience. A couple of reminders, the Kolel annual Malava Malkah dinner, March 1st, 8:45 p.m. Kolel Kolel, 412-420-0220. Also, the Kolel has many exciting classes about to start. Breakneck to the Bible, Season of Mimer, Women's Shabbos program. Kolel Kolel and find out all about it. 412-420-0220. Media Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous, Pittsburgh, Kolel, 5808 Beacon Street, every Sunday evening from 7:30 to 9. Call Elon at 412-422-2224. Don't forget to give us a call if you have some Mazel Tovs you want to share with the Jewish community or events. 412-979-5770. Or drop us a line at jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Now we got candlelighting time this week is 5.03 p.m. And we certainly want to thank Mort Klein for joining us, National President of ZOA. He's provided incredible insight on what's going on in the Middle East today. And, of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Ms. Deborah DeLynn reporting from Israel, and our engineer, Jeremy Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Now we got candlelighting time is 5.03 p.m. It's been a lot of fun, but I got to run. Don't forget, Jewish Experience is here for you. Will you be here for Jewish Radio? Donate today at jewishexperience@verizon.net. I am Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll see you all next week on or before on the web at jewishexperienceradio.com anytime. And we'll be back here Friday, same Yiddish time, same Yiddish channel. Shabbos.